Gano.
Andy's Auto Body, northwest of Northfield, is your complete collision and rust repair shop. Andy's Auto Body Shop invites you to the Vintage Band Festival this Saturday in Bridge Square. For the most reasonable prices around, contact Andy's Auto Body.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist. You're tuned in to Art Zany. Thank you so much for tuning into the show that celebrates creating stories and, of course, your imagination. And you know what I need more in my life right now is some music. And I have this great tune I cannot wait to play. It's Tootie Ma is a Big Fine Thing from the fabulous Southside Aces, who are going to be a part of the Vintage Band Festival. So let's just wake up our imaginations this morning with a little cut from Tootie Ma is a Big Fine Thing. Folks, that is the Southside Aces, and I want to thank them for that great tune. I just love that. It just really makes me happy to listen to that. And there is something incredible about live music, and that is Southside Aces. They are going to be playing at the Vintage Band Festival, and so that's what we're here to talk about this morning. I cannot wait. This is always exciting to have our town filled with sounds of brass and percussion and all kinds of instruments and people dancing, and I just say, let's bring more music, and what a great way to celebrate a summer day. Joining me in the studio is Paul Nemisto, who is the artistic director of the Vintage Band Festival. He's also Associate Professor Emeritus of Music at St. Olaf College, and he taught there for over 35 years and has done amazing things. He's been described as Northfield's music man, and I have to say that we're very lucky in this community to have the talents of Paul Nemisto here in Northfield. And welcome to Art Zany Radio again, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Paula. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming in. You told me earlier that you just came back from Germany, so I'm deeply appreciative that you're here.
Yeah, I was at an academic conference on music history, and I should just take 30 seconds to talk a little bit about that, because it does reflect on what's going on with the Vintage Band Festival in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's a centennial of World War I, and one of the great events of World War One was when the governor of New York requested that there be an Afro-American regiment that go to France during that time. And if they had an Afro-American regiment, then they needed a band. And the band that they put together was under the leadership of James Reese Europe, who was at that time a very active band leader and composer, arranger, was involved in Tin Pan Alley and had colleagues like U.B. Blake and Noble Sissle and so forth. And he put this band together, and they went over there, and it was all guys from Tin Pan Alley and Harlem, and they blew everybody away because it's the first time they had heard jazz style in Europe. That was the beginning of the movement of jazz into Europe,
and that became all the rage. Right?
Right.
That was a sensational opportunity for American music to.
And I found that so amazingly interesting and important that I decided to do some work on it, and I've been looking at the repertoire, and I did a bit of paper on that subject. We're going to be having some of that music next year at the 2019 four-day festival, and there'll be more about that later. I think I should probably stop talking about that now because that's not what's happening tomorrow. It's a totally different thing.
Right, but it's all a build-up.
It's a continuum.
Of the entire festival, which now does the one-day festival, not every year, but...
Every year.
Every year now.
Every year that there's not a big one.
Okay, yeah. So this is how it's grown.
This is what you call by popular demand. People said, no, you got to do something. We have to have it. So we just figured out ways to make it work.
And it's always a Saturday in Northfield and at Bridge Square.
Right on the edge of July, August, somewhere in there. So this year it's the 28th. That's tomorrow, the 28th of July. We're live radio on the 27th here, guys. You got to show up at 9 o'clock. We're starting with the New Prague Community Band. They've come every year for the last several years. They're willing to come nice and early because they just come and hang out all day and listen to other bands, too.
As everyone should.
And it's go on for about 10 bands. We're going to end up sometime after 9:30 or 10 o'clock when the last people stop dancing to Buddy Koopman's Jazz Orchestra.
And just one group after another, and there's not a break.
Not really. No, I mean, you can pick and choose. You can make your own breaks or slip out and get something to eat or drink in the neighborhood pubs and stores and stuff and then come back.
That's right. It'll be on the stage wherever you are. You can come and go. There's no tickets, right?
Of course, bring your checkbook, dear friends. You can actually bring your credit cards, too. We're going to be able to swipe. We're looking for donations. This is a fundraiser. And we want to dig deep, guys. We want this thing to be a success.
Because this is what builds up to that giant festival that happens every...
Four years. And also don't assume that this one is without costs. It does cost money to make this one-day thing. It's not the bands don't come for free, and we have expenses connected with the physical setup of the thing and so forth. So we need your help as well as your ears and your hearts.
That's right. And it's something that, as you mentioned, there's a whole lineup of, you can get those details at vintagebandfestival.org. They've got the schedule if you want to take a look at that there. Or information. I love there's little stories about each of the bands. So
there's a lot going on. And if you do join the club, so to speak, you will get reports on your email about these bands with the biographies. They've been going on now for about a month, detailed information. So join us. Go onto the website and become a partner of ours. And then you can also find the Festival 2018 in the upper top left-hand side. You'll find there the details about all the bands and so forth.
Right. And as you said, this is something that you can come and go, but it is a fundraiser. It is a way to support the live music that happens at Bridge Square and a way to build towards what's coming.
What's really been wonderful for me to hear from friends of the festival is how they have used this as a magnet to bring in in the case of elderly people, their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They make a weekend of it.
Mm.
And it's become almost an annual thing where they just do this. This is when they come to Northfield. This becomes the center of their of their activity outside of the family circle. And I think it's just very gratifying for us to hear that kind of news.
And this kind of music is for everyone in the family, young to old. And maybe there's someone listening who doesn't. When you say vintage, what does that mean? We've talked about it before, but it's okay to define it again.
It's hard to find a real word for what it is. It's focused on specific traditions. You could call it traditional music festival, maybe, but then people think that that's folk music. It's from an ethnic group, from a historical period, from a region, from a particular kind of composer group. So as we get German bands, mariachi bands, as you just heard, Dixieland bands, period bands from the Civil War, et cetera, et cetera. So all the bands have some kind of a focus outside of what you would consider just a regular concert band.
Mm-hmm.
And even New Prague and the Minnesota State Band have a tradition that they follow that's not just a normal band.
Right. So it's kind of fun and surprising. I think I've been getting a music education through listening to these different styles and, you know, representations of music that, you know, really just is so exciting to see performed live.
Yeah, and I suppose you could say in a way education, in that you experience it and you absorb it and sense what's going on and evaluate it. That education actually makes for a better audience, so that if you learn something this year, you'll be able to apply it to your listening next year.
Yeah, should we listen to some music? We've got
it's up to you, sure.
I think we should. We've got some things.
You got
queued
some
up.
Favorites you've already focused on, so
I
you go ahead.
Did well and since this one is already up. Let's see which ones did I choose from. Why don't we? Yeah, let's play this. Soundings is the title of this. This is performed by the Twin Cities Trumpet Ensemble, and this was kind of surprising to hear.
It's a large ensemble of all trumpets. And a lot of them are professionals and retired people and young talented players. It's a great group.
Right. This is directed. This YouTube clip is directed by James Olcott, and it is he's a 24 trumpet ensemble. So you will hear some beautiful sounds. So let's take a listen on Arts Any Radio to Soundings. Folks, and you know what? I just realized that we were playing it in the studio, but I need to connect it up for you guys to hear. So give me a second here. Paul, why don't you tell us a little bit more about this particular ensemble while I get it hooked up?
Well, it's really interesting about this group and other groups that are specifically brass.
There they are. They joined us. That was my fault, folks. I forgot to plug it in. That is just trumpets, and they had some other additional accompaniments, but what an ensemble. The range of sounds and the, you know, story they're telling with that.
Yeah, the thing that, of course, those of us who organized this festival years ago, we didn't know that all of these groups actually existed, because there's no catalog you can go, no index you can go to say, where are the local brass groups or community ensembles? It's a... And in the larger greater Twin Cities area, shall we say. And they just have come to us in most cases, and introduced themselves. But it's a fabulous list, and I don't know. I think it's pretty rare to have a urban area that has this much going on with primarily amateur music. Now, these are some professionals here too, as well. But it's just really gratifying to put them all together for you guys to come tomorrow and listen to this.
Right, and they are performing. Is that part of the Twin Cities Brass Band?
No,
we've got a different one.
Where's the Twin Cities Trumpet Ensemble? I wonder if I might have made a mistake. Doesn't matter.
It was good music.
They're a part of our family.
Yes.
And they'll be coming. If they don't come this year, they'll be coming next year. So
it's just
open your ears.
That's right. And be ready for all. It's just amazing the sounds that get created by bringing the instruments. Just telling the stories, singing the song, if you will. And it's just such a lovely experience to go down to Bridge Square and to hear the Vintage Band Festival. Every hour, there's a starting at 9 a.m. at Bridge Square all the way through. So they'll perform, and then there's a little break for setup and change up of the groups. And then every hour on the hour, there's a new performance.
Yeah, and a big thanks goes to Riverwalk Market Square.
Market Fair,
because of the fact that they are operating simultaneously with us, and we always find that it's a good symbiosis. We work together very well. They have an increase in their sales and visibility, and we have a more wide ability to serve our audience with a lot of amusements. And so it's really great, and they deserve our big thanks from the VBF.
So if you're looking for your usual Saturday morning stroll to get produce or flowers right. or art or bakery goods, they're still there.
Yeah, I think we've got lemongrass available by now. I would think so.
Amazing things happening.
Yeah, there are a couple of really great vegetable stands there, and that's one of the things I look forward to.
That is absolutely true. So much is happening, and our time is flying by. I was hoping we could play another cut, but I think we're going to have to just let folks know, just again remind people that this is a one-day event.
Yeah, and here's the whole story. 9 o'clock, New Prague Area Community Band. 10 o'clock, Mariachi Mi Tierra. It's a mariachi Hispanic band from the Twin Cities. 11 o'clock, Sheldon Theater Brass Band, one of the great brass bands of the Upper Midwest. 12 o'clock is Southside Aces. That's the Dixieland group you heard at the beginning. 1 o'clock is American Poyat, Boys of America, the Finnish band that I belong to. 2 o'clock is the Minnesota State Band. 3 o'clock is the Twin Cities Brass Band. 4 o'clock is Brio Brass, which is a brass ensemble from the cities. 5 o'clock is Metro Brass, another brass ensemble from the cities. 6:30 is Copper Street Brass, the great quintet that you're going to be hearing more about in this next half hour. And you're going to end it all at 8:30 with Buddy Koopman's orchestra, which in past years has kept itself busy for a long, long time on that street on Bridge Square. People just would not go home. They just kept dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing.
And that is what it's all about. It's just a big build-up, right, to all of that. And you're welcome to dance any time in the day. But
of course.
A lot of dancing happens with that particular group. So I'm so pleased that you came to join us. Thank you for being here and for telling us about the Vintage Band Festival. Again, vintagebandfestival.org for all the details. Or just stop on down to Bridge Square anytime tomorrow. And enjoy summer, enjoy music, and being together in the community, and help support this organization.
Happiness is live music outdoors, especially Bridge Square tomorrow.
That's exactly right. And as you mentioned, we are going to hear from the Copper Street Brass. I have an interview with Tim Bradley, who is their artistic director. And so you get a little flavor of, going deeper into what does it mean to be a musician who is, they're professional musicians who make a living at this, and they have a great story to tell. But first, we want to play some music. This is Big Country, which is from their Evolution of the Brass Quintet, Volume 2, Copper Street Brass. And they are just an amazing group. I don't even know how to explain. They're a premier brass chamber ensemble, and they are a self-sustaining brass group, and they're founded in 2008, and have two trumpets, horn, trombone, and tuba, and they do their own music, and I love it's a blend, get this, from Mozart to Madonna. So you never know what to expect. So let's take a listen to their selection, Big Country, on Art Zany Radio. That is Copper Street Brass and Big Country, which is one of their popular songs that they'll be playing at Bridge Square. And I'm really excited to be able to bring you this conversation that I had with Tim Bradley, who is the artistic director of Copper Street Brass. He's a performer, educator, and music creator. He works on music arranging and as a part of the Copper Street Brass, and also is the instructor of horn at St. Olaf. So I'm going to go ahead and play a conversation that I had with Tim Bradley of Copper Street Brass so you can learn more about their organization. They are performing at the Vintage Band Festival at 6:30 in Bridge Square. Their website is csbq.org, or you can just look up Copper Street Brass and you will find them as well. So I want to thank Paul Neumastow for kicking it off, and now we're going to go to a conversation with Tim Bradley of Copper Street Brass. And welcome to Art Zany Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'd like to start our conversation by your introduction mentioned that you are a hornist, H-O-R-N-I-S-T. And that was a new word for me. And I thought that's kind of a cool word because it covers far more than just, you know, maybe playing the cornet or the trumpet. So tell us what it is to be a hornist.
Right. Well, my role in Copper Street is to play the French horn, and so oftentimes that's just kind of the formal way that French horn players refer to themselves. And, you know, the French horn actually isn't really French, so a lot of times we just call it the horn. but to differentiate from the other brass instruments that sometimes are called horns, we put the word French in front of it. But yeah, that just means that I am the French horn player in Copper Street. So we have two trumpets, and I'm the horn player, and then we have a trombone and a tuba, and then we also have a percussionist.
And you also...
So yeah, that just kind of designates my role in Copper Street. Yeah.
See, now my brain went to that you played multiple different kinds of horns. I didn't think about the French horn. That wasn't something that was on my mind, because I also know you play piano and guitar sometimes, too.
Right, yes. I also play, you know, we like to really kind of mix things up and present this music in a really different way. I play guitar and piano, and then Allison, one of our trumpet players, plays some keyboards as well. And then we all switch up sometimes in playing percussion instruments. And, we all learned piano throughout our music school and all that. So we definitely like to switch things up. And we are six classically trained musicians, five of us being brass players. But we really like to mix things up and perform this music in an authentic way, but also a really unique way for our audience. And perhaps if it's a classical piece or a piece of opera music, it'll just be the five of us on brass. But if it's a classic rock tune or a pop ballad, we definitely want some percussion or guitars or keyboard. Just really mixes it up nicely for the ear.
Right, and that's one thing that Copper Street Brass is certainly known for. And I would love for you to talk to us about that song that I played. The opening piece in between our interviews was Big Country, and that is from the Evolution of the Brass Quintet, Volume 2. It's just a lovely melody, and there must be a story about bringing that song to life.
Yeah. Well, so that's a really great piece, and it's one of my favorites that we play. And in fact, it's great that you chose that, because we're actually going to perform it live on Saturday during our set at the Vintage Bands Festival. So good choice.
Oh, good. That was just a lucky guess. I just enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, that's great, and that's a favorite with our audiences. It's a piece called Big Country, and it's by a composer and of all things a banjo player called Bela Fleck. And I first heard Bela Fleck's music when I was in high school, and there's something about it. He's a banjo player, but he has this group, and he kind of does the same thing that we try to do, where he plays he composes his own music, and he plays kind of this crossover of jazz, rock, folk, with some classical elements too. And this Big Country piece is more of one of his folk type pieces. It has kind of a very folky kind of melody, and it's just it's interesting, because this Bela Fleck guy, he uses the banjo as just not just like a bluegrass instrument, that's it's traditionally thought of, but as just an instrument to make music, and that's kind of what we try to do, is kind of go beyond the fact that we're playing brass music. We want to play rock and roll or folk or classical or whatever on our brass instruments. So similar kind of mindset to his music, and Bela Fleck tells a funny story about this melody that's kind of infectious, right? It has that kind of folk melody that just kind of gets stuck in your head. And apparently Bela Fleck was out touring on the road with his band, and this is sometime in the 90s, and he just kind of had that melody kind of pop into his head as he was singing it, watching out the tour bus. And so this is before, we had music memos, before iPhones and all that. And so he called his own, because he was on the road, so he called his home and had it go to voicemail, and he sang that melody over his voicemail.
That was pretty smart.
Remember it. Yeah, so he could remember it when he got back home from the tour. And then he kind of expanded it just into this kind of groovy, what we call four on the floor, which just means it has kind of a really steady beat to it, and I arranged it for our group kind of with the idea of the group Mumford & Sons, that kind
sure.
of folk band that was big from a few years ago. Yeah, I kind of had that idea. So there's some sections that kind of go into a halftime feel, and then it kind of drives toward the end and just has that great melody. And I'll be playing guitar on that, because like I did on the album, just because it's with folk music, you kind of need that string sound in there to fill it out. So yeah, it's a great tune. And like I said, it's one of our fan favorites for sure.
And that is something about Copper Street Brass that is hard to pinpoint your music other than the instruments, because you play everything from Mozart to Madonna, as it says in one of the intros that
right,
I read about
right.
you. So you can basically surprise us with any, like you mentioned, any style or sound of music. And
right.
so how do you describe for people who might be coming down to the Vintage Band Festival and they want to hear you, which we should mention that you will be performing at 6:30 is your scheduled time on
right,
Saturday
right.
at Bridge Square. How do you describe your group to people who maybe haven't heard your music before? Because that's just, Big Country's just one representation.
Right, right. Well, the word that gets thrown around for Copper Street is versatility. It's just the versatility of our music. And what we really like to do is connect with people who perhaps wouldn't normally go see instrumental music, like an orchestra, or perhaps they only hear orchestra music when they go see a movie, you know?
Mm.
And so we really like to connect with people who maybe would, you know, go to First Avenue rather than Orchestra Hall, you know, and say, hey, you know, we kind of bridge the gap between those venues, you know, the kind of the rock and roll kind of familiar melodies, things like that. But it's done on our, you know, quote unquote band instruments, if you will, or our classical instruments, you know. So we're kind of trying to bridge that gap between, you know, something like a classical music concert, but also really meet people with where their interests are. It might be a song by Adele that they hear on the radio, or, you know, and then we turn around and play music from, I don't know, like opera music from the opera Carmen by Bizet, or a folk melody like Big Country. It's fun. I mean, my role in the group is to be artistic director, and so I purely focus on the music part of our group, and it's really fun because it's just a big, I think of it as a big laboratory where I can bring something to the group, whether it's it might even be something like a Baroque fugue or a Renaissance tune that just is really, really cool. Or it could be something like an Ed Sheeran tune that I just heard on The Current or something like that, you know. And you know, we can try it and we can see, oh, I think this tune is really going to work. Or, you know, I think you really need the words for this one, you know, because we don't sing or anything like that. So it's fun. It's like a big laboratory where we mix and match and see what works. And after 10 years of doing it, you know, I've gotten pretty good at knowing, oh, I think this Billy Joel tune is going to work amazing. Or, you know, I think we should steer away from this kind of music or whatever, you know, because we've kind of honed our artistic voice that way. But, boy, if it's great music and we love it, you know, we want to play it regardless of genre. So kind of that versatility and kind of that genre busting idea is what we're all about.
Yeah, I'm really interested in that process because, as you mentioned, you take a lot of music that is in other forms and translate that, it's the best word that I could come up with to describe,
yeah.
to the brass instruments. And so I'd love some insight in the process of how you kind of lay down what role or what voice each
yeah.
of the instruments is going to have, because I think that's it sounds impossible to me. So there must be some things to know about how to do that, how to think
right.
about that.
Well, and and I you know, it's funny, I didn't really think when I was, you know, doing my undergraduate degree in music and my graduate degree in music, I never really thought this was where I was going to end up as a composer, arranger, you know, for a brass chamber music ensemble. But I was always very good at the theory component of music and always really took to that in school, kind of the nuts and bolts of it. And I was really interested in learning the computer program, the programs that were out there to, you know, notate the music. And so I kind of had that background coming into forming Copper Street. And then, you know, we just kind of had the right people, you know, early on where we all had different skill sets. You know, Allison, one of our trumpet players, she does all our graphic design. She has a great eye for design, and she knows how to use Pro Tools really well to edit our records and things like that. And I just found that I really, you know, embraced this arranging and composing component of it to really bring a unique voice to our group. And the other thing I'll say, too, is that you really have to know your musicians well. And, and that's what's really cool about having a small group like this of five or six players is that, you know, we see each other all the time. We perform all the time together. So I really know that each person's playing habits and idiosyncrasies and things they're really great at, things to avoid. So we can sound our best and sound have a unique sound, you know, because I'm thinking, oh, Nick can play, our tuba player, he can play up in the stratosphere, so I'm going to feature him on this, you know, aria that was originally for a soprano or something like that, you know. I just kind of turn things on its head because I know it'll sound great coming out of their horn. So, you know, knowing the musicians, but also kind of having a background in theory and composing really helps to fill out that artistic director role and be able to kind of put the pieces in place. And knowing the music well, we want to pay homage to the covers that we do, particularly the rock music. You know, we definitely don't want to do anything that's, you know, that just doesn't come across well, you know, out of a brass instrument. We want everything to really have a great sound to it, have a great blend to it, you know, whether it's a rock tune or maybe a jazz standard.
Right.
Like that. So, yeah, it's like putting together this puzzle piece, you know, and knowing the players and also kind of where things are going to fit in the music.
Yeah, and that is, I'm glad you said that, because I think that it's not the exercise of translating the song. It's actually making something that sounds glorious and beautiful and inventive and enjoyable. And so that's a really important part. And I know you've been to the Vintage Band Festival before, and I want to talk about that. But first, I want to remind our listeners, this is Paula Granquist, and you're listening to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination on KYMN. I'm talking with Tim Bradley of Copper Street Brass. As he mentioned, he's the hornist as well as the artistic director. And you've come to the Vintage Band Festival. We've been doing this, I guess, for this interview. I forgot to write down the notes of how many times, but you know, it's something that you made a regular stop here, and it's quite fun to have you here.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
tell us about your experiences.
Well, I was just about to say, I just did a Facebook post where I actually went back and counted up. This is our seventh year.
Wow, seventh.
Appearing at the Vintage Band Festival. We absolutely love it. You know, it's well, first of all, three of us in the group are St. Olaf grads, myself included, and our two trumpet players graduated from St. Olaf. And so it's always just so fun for us to return to Northfield and perform, you know, in the town where we had our formal musical training up on the hill there, and where we performed so much as young musicians. It's just so special to be able to return and make music as professional musicians there. And you know, we love it just for the setting of Bridge Square there. It's just a beautiful, you know, one of the most beautiful places in the country. And it's usually great weather. It looks like it's going to be great weather this weekend. So it's just, you know, we just look around and soak it all in just at the beauty of performing music, you know, out in the open, for the community that really loves instrumental music. You know, this festival brings so many different musicians, instrumentalists, brass players from all around the country and all around the world, frankly, to this small town in Minnesota. And that's a really special thing. And I'll say, too, the you know, the audiences are so appreciative of music that it makes the artists feel so welcome and so at home. So we look forward to it every single year.
Well, and that's great to hear. I guess I hadn't realized you had all those connections to our town. And it's certainly, you know, we very much appreciate it. And this is for folks that are maybe familiar with the Vintage Band Festival. This is one of those off years where it is just the one day. So it's it's Saturday, and there is a whole entire lineup of concerts. So if you're out and about, it happens all day long. So it's a real joyful day on Bridge Square and lots of amazing things. I also wanted to mention the website if folks are interested in learning more about the players or the music from Copper Street Brass. That is csbq.org. So you just have to think of Copper Street Brass Quartet, What am I? Quintet? No. Q.
Yep, quintet. Yeah, well, and actually, that's a good point, too, because, or you could just go to copperstreetbrass.org, too. That works, too. You know, we actually dropped the quintet a few years ago just because we started performing more with Reed, our percussionist, and so there's six of us, so we're not a quintet anymore. So we just said, you know what, let's just call ourselves Copper Street Brass. That has a good ring to it. So, yeah, you can go to csbq.org or copperstreetbrass.org. Either one works.
And I think one of the things that makes you a really, I mean, you perform all over the country, and one of the qualities is that you are a self-sustaining brass group. And,
right.
And I'd love to hear more about how you make that happen, because it is unusual to be able to, you know, work in the way that you do. So I'd love for you to share with our listeners what that means for Copper Street Brass.
Right, right. Well, 10 years ago when we formed, you know, we were newly graduates of music school, and we were, you know, practicing in our basement in Minneapolis and trying to look for gigs, you know, and trying to figure out what do we want to do with this, you know, and we knew that we wanted to have the idea of going full time, but we didn't know what that meant. And, you know, over the years, we've built up a following, whether it be through performing at places like the State Fair or the Vintage Band Festival there in Northfield, you know, and through amassing a lot of different, you know, arrangements and finding a unique artistic voice, we've been able to, the past, I'd say 4, perhaps 5 years now, be, like you said, self-sustaining and a full-time group. So that means that during the day, right now I'm sitting in my office, and we have a Copper Street headquarters, we like to call it, in downtown Minneapolis, and we also have some staff people that help us during the day with box office and all that. But yeah, we've built this into a full-time group. So we have office hours where, you know, we regularly do our tasks in the office, and then we go, you know, do personal practice, and then we rehearse every day. And so we've really kind of built this into a full-time group. And of course we spend a lot of time during the school year traveling and visiting schools, doing over, we normally average over 100 educational outreach services each season, and perform about 40 concerts in the Twin Cities and beyond. One of our big missions is to visit small towns in the Upper Midwest that normally do not get the opportunity to see professional musicians live. And the way we do that is we take advantage of the legacy amendment that was passed back in 2008, which is very lucky for us because that's when we formed, and that's been a big part of helping us. And I know the Vintage Band Festival also gets a lot of funding from the legacy amendment as well to put on the arts programming there. So we take advantage of that. We write a lot of grants throughout the year to help defray the cost to the school, you know, of having us in, taking advantage of the regional arts councils or the state arts board, you know, having that funding unlocked to bring artists to small towns or have artists be able to put on presentations, you know, it's huge. It was a game changer for us to have that pass in 2008, and we were really lucky to form as a nonprofit then, where we could take advantage of grant writing and things like that. And then, you know, it's a mixture of, you know, of artist fees to perform. It's a mixture of, you know, building up our donors and our patrons, people who support us financially, of businesses supporting us, and grants. And so it's kind of almost like putting together the music part. You know, the business part is also a puzzle where you really kind of put it together piece by piece, and if you can't find a puzzle piece here, then you kind of go make one over here, you know?
Right.
That's kind of the challenging part, but also can be the really rewarding part about owning your own group and running your own business, is that you have complete control. And we think that really is powerful, and that means a lot to us as business people and as artists.
And I think that's something that a lot of groups are only able to do sort of as a part-time, like besides doing one, you know, another full-time job, this is their part-time, you know, evening and weekend
right.
gig. And,
oh, sure.
And, but there are a lot of groups that dream about being able to make that happen. And what do, you know, I know you teach some classes on entrepreneurship mm-hmm. for the arts and the business of music. And I'd love for you to share with our listeners. It sounds like one of the ingredients is a lot of hard work and a lot of commitment to all those aspects, not just the playing and the practice, but the business of art.
Right. And that's, you know, the business of art or the business of music is such an important part of learning to be a musician these days. You know, anymore, you can't really get a music degree and just sit by the phone and hope for it to ring. You know, you really have to go out and hustle. And you know, we tell young students, you have to believe in what you do first and foremost. You have to really think creatively. You have to think outside the box. And if you believe that you found your artistic voice, then you have to just go with it and just believe in it 110%. And that might not happen for the first year or two when you're kind of, you know, trying to emulate other artists you like or trying different things. But then, you know, you'll find what works for you and what works for your audience that you want to reach as well. And, you know, and we, when we first moved to the Twin Cities in 2008 to start this group, you know, we bought a lot of coffee and a lot of dinners, went to a lot of happy hours with basically everyone we could think of in the Twin Cities, in the arts community, in the music community. You know, we talked at great length with, folks like we knew some folks from St. Olaf Days, from Contus, the
yes.
Twin Cities-based, male a cappella group. And we decided we kind of wanted to model our business after that group, but with some changes, you know, with our own kind of spin on it. And we talked to people from Minnesota Orchestra. We talked to people at NPR. We people at St. Olaf, just anyone we could think of. That we knew from our college days, and say, "Hey, we've got this group. Here's what we do. You know, who should we talk to next? You know, or whatever." And so, you know, first believing what you do, and second, networking is so huge to really get out into the community and see if your, you know, products, so to speak, is going to stick. And I think just, you know, with hard work comes luck too, you know, because we were lucky that we had the ingredients that all of us got along and we all had the same vision for our group. You know, the more people you add to a group, sometimes the less that, you know, that mm-hmm. happens. Someone wants to do something else or has a different vision, you know, for the artistic side or has a different vision for the business side. So I think we got lucky through hard work and networking and just, I mean, and the final component too that we tell kids is just to be great people to work with, you know, just extremely friendly, extremely professional, just, you know, just to always be early to the gig and really, you know, be a great partner to other arts organizations in your community. Those ingredients are all really, really important to being successful, for sure.
Those sound like great words of advice. And the best thing that comes across is that you all love playing the music that you play and playing your instruments. And that, you know, that's such an important part of creating a great group. And so I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It's been my pleasure to learn a little bit more about the Copper Street Brass. They will be a part of the Vintage Band Festival, which is happening this Saturday. At their concert is at 6:30, but again, the music goes on all day long. But if you especially want to see Copper Street Brass, which I think you do, you should come down to Bridge Square at 6:30, and there'll be great music, I'm sure, including that wonderful song that we played and lots more. So, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Folks, thank you for adding some art zany to your life, and I hope we'll see you downtown Northfield.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.